In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. The shot is thrown. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, and we certainly had the rivalry in full effect over the weekend. Brian Shackman here, along with John Senecal. We're not videotaping this week because we are in different places. John has been doing a little baseball and vacation tour in Florida, and I am in lovely Connecticut. First of all, John, how's the trip been?
The trip has been fine, Brian. It's a little interesting, obviously, driving around Florida. We started up in Tampa, and then now we're down in the Florida Keys. My first time in the Florida Keys, and it's definitely different down here. Kind of like Cape Cod, but much warmer. You know, they kind of strung
it's
out.
Hot.
And hot. And driving down here is interesting. People move at their own pace, and they love to sit in the left-hand lane. And coming from New England, that's not fun.
Right, and you're a classic New Englander. I know you're raised in New York, but you're definitely not a patient driver.
No. Also, remember, Brian, I get a lot of flack for my driving, but I was a news photographer for nearly 20 years. So,
right, you had to get
to
places very quickly. Yes,
right.
We're going to talk about Florida. You got to see Jason Dominguez, the big prospect for the Yankees, and you also went to Marlins Park. So I want to talk all about that. And but today, this is the rundown of what we're going to do. We're going to put a ribbon on the series in terms of what it means for the Yankees and the Red Sox, but it really was more important for the Yankees, in my opinion. We'll sort
a
of
ribbon,
go with,
a ribbon.
A ribbon, or we'll put
a nail in the coffin.
Yeah, whatever you want to say. We'll go through the series as well. We'll talk about the schedule moving forward and talk a little bit about your experience in Florida, and then we'll talk trade deadline as well. My quick snap takeaway is I thought the Yankees – easily could have won three games in that series and didn't. And I think because they lost three of four, I think that their chances, I don't think it's me going on a limb, of winning the division are effectively over. And there's one fundamental reason why. If the Yankees were in second and nine back, I think that they could have a chance because it's a linear proposition. But they need both the Red Sox and the Rays to falter, and I just don't see that happening.
No, I definitely don't see that happening. I mean, and there's other issues in that, too. Obviously, the Yankees are not a good team. They just don't look good. They can't hold a lead. And then, of course, demoralizing, you know, losing three or four to the Sox is not good. So,
well, I mean, the way they lost on Sunday, John, was just
that's their worst loss. Yeah, their worst loss of the season, other than, you know, the grand slam against the Angels late. But huge win for the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox have been a great team all year, but that is one hell of a win for the Sox and one hell of a loss for the Yankees. I mean, to have a no-hitter going in to the eighth inning and then just collapse like that and blow a four-run lead is just, I mean, what else can you say? It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And if it wasn't now, let's realize that, you know, there's going to be changes in New York. There's going to be changes in New York.
Well, let me ask you, before we get to that, because I think Boone's not going to be there next year myself, you have Domingo Germán, who had 93 pitches.
Yep.
Was tiring, right?
But he gives up a leadoff double to Verdugo, and that's not the end of the world, though, for a guy that's got 93 pitches efficiently, you know, and it was looking good. So I give him another batter.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my point, is that was this, I mean, and again, like, a lot of times that's a knee-jerk reaction by a manager. You lose a no-hitter, it's late in the game, just get him out, right? And I understand that, but maybe there's a managerial criticism here with the decision to yank him when they did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was, okay, unhittable, right? That's the obvious word to use, right? But still, I mean, he's looking good, and you 93 pitches, you got to let him go to 100. I think, right?
Yeah,
give him another batter. If the next batter gets a hit, then you come back out. You know what I mean? And you pull him. You got to give him another batter. And again, listen, Renfroe comes up, and Loaisiga's pitch is a bad pitch. Renfroe hits a bad pitch there, so you got to give him that. But still, Loaisiga after that, just not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that. I mean, and I don't know. I just feel like when you have a 4-0 lead, you give up a hit. the fact that you can't close it, and I don't know. Like I feel.
But there's no confidence. Green didn't do it before. Chapman has been shaky as hell. Obviously, we all know that. So they're nervous to go there, especially for two innings, right? And so Loaizaga is the obvious choice, and he just couldn't do it, and he hasn't been sharp since coming off the COVID.
But think about the game, right? Think about this. Bogarts, 0 for 3. Devers, 0 for 4. J.D. Martinez, 0 for 3. I mean, you struck out Jared Duran three times. The Red Sox had five hits in the game, and four of them came from the bottom of the order. I mean, that, like, to me, that's the most telling thing, is that you lost basically to the Red Sox worst hitters. I mean, even Franchi Cordero got a hit.
And that's what good teams do. And you watch baseball long enough, Brian, when the studs aren't performing, the other guys pick it up.
Yeah, and as much as it's funny, we talk about how that win on Sunday was so demoralizing and so great for the Red Sox. I mean, you know, you can, when you think about the first game of the series, too. I mean, that to me was as demoralizing as the Sunday game. I mean,
it's awful
to lose a game on four wild pitches, a walk and like a sack fly is like my kid's little league.
Oh, absolutely. And then you, of course, again, the Yankees are patched together, and you got a guy with nine innings of major league experience in that position. Granted, he's a major leaguer. You should not be throwing four wild pitches in a row. But at the same time, the Yankees' options are awful. They're just awful. And the back door, you can't close it. I mean, it's just any time you turn around, it seems like the Yankees are getting punched in the face. Well, you really do.
They're 51-47, right? Okay, that, as of Monday. And that's obviously going to change depending on when people listen to the podcast.
Nine games back.
Yep. And so they've played 98 games, so they have 64 games left. So if they're going to get to 90 wins, which I don't even know will do it, but it could. Just say they needed to. They have to win 39 games, so they have to go 39-25. That's to get to 90. And that's not a guarantee for the wild card, but let's just say that 90 wins gets them a wild card. Do you think they can go 39-25, 14 games over 500 the rest of the way?
No, absolutely not. I mean, what,
so
is Judge going to come back and
then
save them? No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. With their resume right now, no, I don't think so. And I don't see it changing going forward. There's just bad omens and apples and worms and just, I don't know, man. They need
You're
Joe
so
Boo
cynical
in there, man.
Like, I feel
shake
like
it up.
This is so weird. Like, I feel like I always feel like every day the Yankees are going to find a way to turn it on and turn it around.
But they're not. They do it one day, and then it's just a parade of errors after that. And you think, like, well, they get these guys back, you know, from the COVID, and they'll be better. But they had those guys back from the COVID. We've talked about this before, Brian. The Yankees are not built right this year. They're just not built, and they got trouble in the long term too. I mean, you watch Stanton up there; he's swinging like the bad kid on the little league team.
Yeah,
awful.
I felt almost
just
bad
awful.
For him. Well, I mean, when you say that,
he just looked overmatched in the one at bat, like he didn't want to play, like he didn't want to be out there.
The Red Sox.
I see a quote, and this makes me mad real quick, Brian. I see a quote from him talking like last week about, you know, these new guys. Everyone was getting excited about Greg Allen and Florio, who need to work on their outfield defense, obviously. But Stan had a quote about these guys. Oh, they're playing every day like it's their last game and they're scrappy. And it's like, guy, you're supposed to be playing every day like it's your last game and you're scrappy. You're a major league baseball player. If you're not out there playing every day like it's your last game and you're scrappy, you shouldn't be out there.
Right.
Look at what Ronald Acuna when he plays. Look at Fernando Tatis Jr. when he plays. Javier Baez, I don't like him, but look at how he plays. Those guys are all in, all out, all balls all the time. And that's just, I'm just naming a few. There's guys
right,
all
most
around
of those
the
guys got
it.
Their money too. Like, I mean, you could say Stanton's gotten soft because of the money. But here's the situation. I just think that, you know, the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, they've overachieved. I mean, no, I don't think anybody reasonably would expect them to be where they are. But the Red Sox actually, even if they make a decent trade, even if they offload one or two guys to make a move, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, they're still deep. I mean, their 25 players on the roster are really deep. And I think that that's the problem for the Yankees, is that they do have a couple of young guys, but they don't have, I mean, honestly, they don't have enough all-around talent, I think, in the middle. I don't know. I just feel like the Red Sox are built way more for the future than the Yankees are right now. Even with some of the young kids coming up and looking good. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shagman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Okay, so basically, John, you've said they have no chance. They have no chance, even in your opinion, for the wild card. So let's talk of the next 2 weeks in terms of scheduling for if they were going to surprise you to the upside. What does it look like?
All right, so the Yanks, 3 on Tampa, 4 in Miami, 3 in Baltimore. You'd laugh and say, all right, we're gonna walk, have a tough time with Tampa, and you're going to handle Miami and Baltimore. Now, Baltimore just swept Washington, and Miami took 2 out of 4 from the Padres. So nobody's rolling over, right? Nobody's rolling over for you, so nothing's expected. So that's over the next 10 games. You play 500, hopefully. I mean, you should win more than that, but I don't know. I just don't see the Yankees rolling over anybody at this time. And then you also look at it where these teams see the Yankees coming in, limping. They want to whoop them up.
Sure.
They want to whoop them up even more.
Well, let's be honest. I think if they don't win 2 of 3 at least in Tampa, it's even a deeper hole if the Red Sox win 2. So say, for instance, you know, the Red Sox win 2 or 3 in their series and the Yankees lose 2 or 3, they're going to be double-digit games back to both teams. So, I mean,
and the Red Sox have Toronto, Tampa, and Detroit.
Right. So, well, listen, that's a hard schedule, too. I mean, Detroit is all of a sudden not a pushover.
Hottest team in baseball.
And the Blue Jays, when they hit, they can hit. And then Tampa's Tampa. So, I mean, the Red Sox could actually go on a rough patch, too. But I guess my point is if the Yankees don't sweep Tampa in Tampa, which is always a good place for them to play because there's a lot of Yankee fans that go. But I think that's a must-sweep series, to be honest, because you can take 2 or 3 from Miami, you can take 2 or 3 from Baltimore, but I think you have to sweep the Rays if you have any chance at this.
Absolutely. Well, for one, they're in front of you, and for two, it's a psychological thing. You know, they're your foes in the AL East, other than the Red Sox, and they've had more bad blood against the Rays in the last 2 years than the Red Sox, that's for sure.
Right.
So,
listen, let's talk about Florida. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, it's just a tough thing. You know, you ask me what they need to do, and I know what they need to do. Everybody knows what they need to do. They need to win games, but they always find a way to lose those dang games. You know what I mean? They always find a way to lose the games. You know, I've been saying the only good thing the Yankees have done this season is not sign Trevor Bauer in the offseason.
Right.
That really is, because I could just see in the Yankees signing him. That would have been the icing on the cake to have that clown on your team right now. Ay, ay, ay.
I'll tell you, man. I want to hear about the trip. I want to hear what's going on.
All right. So we were down in Tampa at the Yankee Spring Training Complex, which, by the way, is amazing. Okay, so you can just – it's like going to a Little League game. If there was 150, 200 people there, I would be surprised. I mean, you drive right up 10 minutes before the game. You park right behind home plate and walk in. So that was awesome. Free parking and everything. $6 to sit right above the dugout. And we got to see Jason Dominguez, the Yankees' big prospect, play. And he went 1 for 5, so he didn't go crazy, but he hits the ball hard. He's 18. Dude looks like he's 30. Runs like a deer. And he hits the ball hard. You know, it's that contact. When you hear
maybe
it, it's
just something off the bat.
Yeah, something off the bat. And again, you know, he comes out of the dugout and people are cheering. Now, there was only 200 people there, but, you know, that's the dude they're cheering for. You know, the one takeaway I have from a low A baseball is very unpolished baseball. Very unpolished baseball.
I watched a lot of Cape League baseball this summer, and I think that there's some things the players lack, but I think that as a baseball game, it's efficient and the fundamentals are there. I wonder how that compares to what you saw.
Well, it's interesting. So, because, you know, where we are, we have the Hartford Yard Goats, and that's Double A. And everyone says if you can play in Double A and make it in Double A, you should be good enough to make it in the majors. And you can definitely see a drop off in the ability. Now, these kids are young. A lot of these kids are. None of them are really over 22 years old, so you got to give them that. Some of them are just come out of college, or they've come out of high school and been drafted in their second or third year. But you can definitely see that there's some very unpolished play if you look across.
Like,
what do you mean by that, though?
Like, give me an example.
You know, like getting up to a ball late, not charging the ball the right way, not taking the right route to the ball. Just, you know, not good base running, not picking up the coaches on the base pass, just that kind of stuff, amateur stuff, you know, stuff that some of it's baseball sense, but a lot of it is just stuff that you need to learn. You know, you need to learn, and they probably haven't learned it yet. I don't know. I just noticed it, that it seemed a little unpolished to me, just from the games and levels I've watched.
You know,
but you know, the stadium is cool. It's a good experience if you're a Yankees fan.
Can you get a
Tampa
beer?
Tarpons. You can get beer and whatever else you want there. You know, typical concession prices. Not as expensive as Lone Depot Park in Miami, where it's two Gatorades and peanuts is $20. But
how was that park?
The park is beautiful. The park is really cool. The roof was not open, but you know they're doing something all the time to entertain you there. They got bands playing around. They have karaoke afterwards. But I have no clue how that team's making any money, and I don't think they are. I mean, I would imagine the air conditioning they were pumping into that place was more than what they can afford to believe.
How many people were there?
To see Tatis, I would say 15,000. To see the Marlins, 2,000.
Go ahead. I was going to say, as a team, they're interesting because they're in last place. But yeah, actually, you know, they're 11 back in a weak division, but they actually have a plus one run differential. I mean, they're not a terrible team.
No, they don't have any names on their team. You know, they got Adam Duvall, you know, Jazz Chisholm Jr., who didn't play, and Starlin Marte, who's, you know, supposedly their trade chip, and he's 32 years old, but he's playing good. But they don't have that marquee player, you know. Obviously, right. Jose Fernandez passed away a few years ago. That would have been their chip if they kept on to him. But they're just a team of a bunch of players that really nobody knows and nobody kind of really cares about, and they're in a state that nobody really cares about baseball, in a pretty decent park that, you know, it kind of sucks that they don't have a better team.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you one thing, man. Fernando Tatis not start in the game, and we were not happy about that. We did get to talk to Bobby Dickerson, but when Fernando Tatis came out the pinch hit and he walked out of the dugout, the pinch hit in the eighth inning, oh my God, dude, the place went nuts. Absolutely nuts.
So people clearly.
So there's your draw, folks.
Right.
There's your draw, folks, in Major League Baseball. That's who they're pinning it on right there, which is not a bad idea either.
So real quick, Bobby Dickerson, of course, is the bench coach for the Padres. I mean, the
third base coach now.
Third base coach now. And, you know, the NL West, we know, is the best division in baseball. They have three teams that are playoff teams, and one may not make it. Or maybe all three will make it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much time you had with him, and hopefully we'll get him in the offseason. But what did he say about how it's been being with, you know, Machado and all the hoopla around Tatis? I mean, it must be incredible.
Well, you know, he's got a front row seat, you know, to a very electric team and a very exciting team. And you know, they're in it to win it. He's excited about that. We only talked to him for about 10 minutes. It's interesting. His college roommate was actually there too. So we were all kind of talking together, but you know, with the COVID restrictions and stuff, they don't let you get near any of these people. If it's anything, it's the players approaching the fans, you know, which they did good afterwards. Manny and, Tatis signed a bunch of autographs for fans, but you gotta be right down by the dugout, which is also separated. But as far as like, you know, the access is not there. The field passes aren't there. You know, And it's not the experience that we're used to as baseball fans in general, but also if you got the access normally from getting player passes and stuff like that, it's definitely not the intimate experience. So no, we did not get to talk a lot. He did mention that there was some rumors, very good rumors, that Buck is coming back to the Yankees.
Really? Buck Showalter?
TBD. I guess if La Russa can win in
Chicago, then Buck can win in New York.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know if it's necessarily might not be in a managerial role. So I don't know. It could be some sort of, you know, baseball czar kind of role, you know, that kind of thing. But there is and Bobby's pretty close to Buck. So, and my answer to that was, you know, well, we want you to be the Yankees manager.
That would be so cool.
Which would be much more fun, you know, if you ask me. That would be awesome. But yeah, he did tell me that. And other than that, you know, the stadium was cool. And boy, I'll tell you, the fans love Fernando Tatis. They definitely do.
Well, listen, I'll just say we got to go, and I got to talk trade deadline real quick. I mean, I don't think Major League Baseball belongs in the state of Florida, even though the Rays are so well run. Give them to a city somewhere else with the same management, because it's a joke. And I think the Marlins are a joke. And I don't. I just think with spring training, you just don't have the appetite for it. I just don't see it. And so I never have, and I don't think I ever will. So that's my.
Well, I think being down here, you know, I know if you obviously live here, you're used to it, but I feel like, you know, you're down here, it's so dang hot. You're like, I don't even want to go outside to get to the baseball game. You know, it's like, I'd rather just stay inside if I can watch it on TV, because it's hot. It's definitely hot.
John Senecal, Brian Shackman, our fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Real quick, trade deadline. The Yankees, are they actually going to be buyers? I mean, do you think they're actually going to try to make
a
move?
I'm tired of the Trevor Story rumors. I mean, what are you going to do? Bring Trevor Story in and put him at shortstop, move Gleyber to second, DJ to first. In a perfect world, everyone loves that. And then what do you do with Luke Voit? What do you do? I don't know. I don't see the Yankees going out there and getting a player like that as a rental and losing guys, because Story's gone. If you can get a guy that has some control, maybe. But I don't know. I think the whole trade deadline idea is more of what the Sox are going to do. And if the Yankees are going to do anything, I think they might be giving up somebody. But who wants anybody on the Yankees right now? You don't want Stanton. You don't want Chapman. Too big of contracts and not performing. I mean, who's your tradable chip? The Red Devils got dizzy spells. Andujar's hurt.
No. You'd have to go.
They're a mess.
You
got to go
Red
down
Sox,
deep in the minors.
I mean, for the Red Sox, we talked about their consistency as starter, and Chris Sale's going to come back maybe in as little as a week and a half. So then the question is, where do you fit? You're always looking for relief help, right? And a bat. I mean, I don't actually think the Red Sox need a whole lot to make a run. So I wouldn't sell the farm. I would try to bolster. I'd get an arm for the bullpen. I don't think they need to pick up another starter unless they can get Scherzer or something that without expense. And then I would find a good bench bat. I mean that's it. I mean, I would make tweaks. I wouldn't make. I mean, I love Nelson Cruz. So I always would love to have it. I would have loved to have had him. But I don't think the Red Sox need to do too much.
No, I mean, they really don't. They got a great team. I mean, obviously, you know, like you talked about Dahlbeck at first, you know, the big buzz is maybe they can get Rizzo. I mean, great left-handed bat if you can pull it off. But like you said, you don't want to fleece it. And they're a hell of a team. You know, there's chemistry, chemistry, chemistry. You never know. You never know what the chemistry can do with a player.
Yeah, I love Dahlbeck, but I think I'd make that Rizzo deal. I do, even though I'm not. But
everything points to Rizzo being a hell of a teammate, so I wouldn't really worry about that too much. Chicago fans are not going to look at that's for sure, if that happens.
All right, John, safe travels back from Florida. This is a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We call it Fan Base, and we're always here every week on Odyssey, wherever you enjoy your podcasts, and we will see you next time.